Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to The Froth. A place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable. A spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife Shan Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is... The Froth.
This week's podcast was recorded in Pembrokeshire. Our special guest is Rob Rouse, who joined us remotely, and Barry is producing.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week. Our house, dum-dum-dump, in the middle of our street. Our house, dum-dum-dum, in the middle of our street. Our house, dum-dum-dum. In the middle of... No, that's not our house. No, that's not our fucking house. Oh, Christ, he's got a machete. Men hired for sexual fantasy break into wrong house in the middle of the night, carrying machetes.
That took an odd turn.
I sang it for too long before I took the odd turn.
There was a key change.
Take away pizza and leftover pizza, chicken McNuggets, fries, onion rings, large battered cotton chips, the polystyrene box. These are a few of my favourite meals. 6-year-old has his own very cute weekly meal planner and has parents in stitches.
Aww.
Shit British food off. The Froth team hold a Great British Bake Off style competition to see who had the shittest food growing up. Spoiler alert, Rod wins with ham a la Norma. And you've heard of Jacket Potato, but Sean introduces us to Jacket Chow Mein, eating a full beef chow mein from her father's jacket pocket. And those are the headlines.
He wasn't a full one.
And Rob Rouse is our special guest, waiting in the Zoom wings there, and Barry's there as well. But first, the social media, Sean. Over to you. Ooh. What has been happening on the old S&M?
We've had an email.
Oh. That.
Don't pretend that you're really excited.
We have had an email at hello@thefrothpodcast.com.
Hello@thefrothpodcast.
You can email in, and somebody has. Okay.
Shall I start?
Yeah.
Hello. I do not mean this in any way as an insult, but I often use the Froth podcast to help me get to sleep or fall back to sleep.
I don't take that as insult. I know how soporific my voice can be.
Something about Rod's voice knocks me out.
Oh, that's made me sound sinister now, hasn't it?
I said
ladies when I can help get ladies to sleep. And then you said knock me out, and I said ladies just as you said it.
No, it's
now it makes me sound like a right old.
What? Train.
Yes.
In brackets, I do not listen whilst driving.
All right. Good.
But when Rosie starts barking, my dog, Mrs. Landingham, frantically starts barking along, right, completely negating the soothing effects of Rod's dulcet tones.
Right, I get that. Okay, so basically, why doesn't she... This podcast, while it may...
I like the name Mrs. Landingham.
It may work as a as a soporific, sort of send you to sleep. But you know, there are podcasts out there. What's her name, this woman?
Sherilyn.
Sherilyn. There are podcasts out there that are designed for sleep, you know, like people doing those bowls, those Tibetan bowls, and then people doing music.
Do you mean sound bath?
Wind chimes and
do you mean
relaxy. Here's, listen to this. I did it when I was working on Taskmaster, and I couldn't sleep, but I was doing Taskmaster on 1 hour sleep every day or something. And then I about 4 o'clock in the morning of the fifth day, I went, oh, God, I'm going to put on some jingly jangly wind chime YouTube. I put it off. It said, here's 14 hours of relaxing music guaranteed to send you out. So why is there 14 hours of it if it's guaranteed to send you off to sleep? Surely they need no more than 5 minutes if they were confident in their product. And then it went
14
jingly
hours.
Jangly jingly. And then it was literally the sound of a rainbow. That's what it was.
That makes no sense.
No, it didn't. But that's how they sold it, and that's how I went, oh, that sounds nice. The sound of a rainbow. I'll buy that.
I
clicked on it. I still invested the time. Clicked on it. I stayed up for 3 hours listening to.
It does work.
It doesn't work.
It does work. When lockdown first started, I used to listen to Under the Sea Noise, and it really helped.
Exactly, and it was the building of the Channel Tunnel. It was a load of French people.
French guys going, with concrete.
French people going, hey, back it up. Un peu plus, un peu plus. Oh, arrête.
Yeah, and I find that very soothing.
Oh, it is relaxing.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of the good old days. Now, I had a hypnotist CD or whatever you call it.
Hypnotist CD?
Yeah, hypnotist CD that I used to listen to before going to sleep every night. And I swore by it, and you were very cynical.
So
and
did
one
I.
evening.
Well, they can fuck off.
I had a hypnotist CD that I used to play before trying to go to sleep, and I gave you one of the headphones, and you were being all cynical, ooh, you know, oh, as if, like this, and this woman with a really soothing voice is going, you're in a garden and you're walking down some steps, and she went 10, and you're like, oh my God, this is absolute rubbish. 9. Oh, I can't believe you paid for this. 8. And you
I think we can all see where this is going.
You were like out. Totally out, drool. Honestly, I had to check your pulse. Is he all right?
What happened to you?
I just stayed up all night, chain smoking. Any stress?
On with the show. Let's bring in Robert Rouse at Rob Rouse. There he is, Rob Rouse. And Barry, can you bring him in now, please? There he is. Get him on screen. There he is. There he is, doing a funny face.
God, how y'all doing?
You've let yourself go on lockdown.
Well, no, what it is, Rod, is if you're filming on a webcam, you've got to set it up properly so you look good.
I've noticed I've got a really scraggly neck that I wasn't aware of before these Zoom calls. I used to look so young, not anymore. I've got this real weathered, scraggly neck.
No, you do look young, your face.
You haven't got a scraggly neck.
You've got a... Exactly. You developed a wattle.
I'll give it the headlines. Men hired for sexual fantasy break into wrong house.
Oof.
Story 2 is going to be about a 6-year-old who's come up with his own weekly meal plans. I'm going to start with the men in the sexual fantasy.
Yes.
In a sex fantasy gone wrong, 2 men with machetes entered the wrong house in New South Wales, Australia, before realising their error. One of them, I don't know what's happened to the other one. One of them has now been acquitted of entering a home armed with a weapon. Australian media report. The judge concluded the facts of the case are unusual. You could decide for yourselves if you think the facts of this case are unusual. Here's what happened. Here we are. There's the facts of the case. You jot these down. Here's the facts of the case. The men had been hired to carry out a client's fantasy of being tied up in his underwear and stroked with a broom.
A broom?
A broom. They carried the machetes, either as a prop or something to use in the fantasy, the judge said. The fantasy was unscripted, and there was discretion as to how it would be carried out. The would-be client, who wanted to be tied up and have a broom handle rubbed around his underwear, had a history and proclivity for engaging the services of people, a police officer said. A lawyer for Terence Leroy, one of the accused men, said it was a commercial agreement to tie up and stroke a semi-naked man in his underpants with a broom.
Yeah. Hang on, Terence Leroy. Terence Leroy.
Terence Leroy is one of the machete bearing accused who turned up in the wrong house.
So
with
is he
a machete.
Is he just an out of work actor?
He is. It doesn't say if he's an out of work actor. I haven't got that far into the story yet. He may be, but this guy basically he's hired. Well, not he's that. Two men have been hired to arrive. I'm not sure where the machetes come into it, to arrive and stroke a man...
with a broom.
Well, I mean, listen, I can't say it any better than the lawyer. It was a commercial agreement to tie up and stroke a semi-naked man in his underpants with a broom.
When you think
what's
of broom, what do you
understand?
Think? When you think of broom, what do you think? I think of like a witch, like a witch's broom.
No.
What do you think of?
That's a broomstick.
Yeah, but that's...
I think of a broom as quite a robust bristle brush, more of an outdoor yard brush, like with quite firm bristles, rather than a
like
soft
that.
Indoor
right.
brush.
Yeah, okay. the kind of thing you have to use to get with a hose pipe to get chicken shit off a flagstone, that kind of thing.
Exactly that kind of thing, as opposed to brushing up crumbs in a
bedroom.
In a small utility room off the kitchen.
Right. Okay.
I've got a sneaky suspicion that this gentleman who'd procured the professional services of Terence Legal. Let's not ignore that. And Terence, if nothing, likes to dot the I's and cross the T's. Now, as far as he was concerned, this is a professional engagement. I should hope paid at least equity minimum. He would have
taken down
the particulars.
How much has he paid?
Although I'm not sure that out of work actors, I mean, I know they do things they don't always want to do, but they're not necessarily going to engage in a full sexual fantasy, are they?
I don't know. They do Holby.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what I mean?
I know they do McDonald's adverts and stuff, but it doesn't look the same as breaking into somebody's house in the middle of the night with a machete, is it? And rubbing their cock with a broom, even through their underpants.
It's a very challenging role.
Yeah, but it gets more challenging the further into it you get.
Whoa, Dad.
I think Terence might have built his part a bit too much there. He's got a bit carried away just going into character. And maybe we need to like threaten him with a machete.
What about machetes?
I'll read on. The role play was arranged over social media.
Obviously.
By a man near Griffith, New South Wales. Okay, so a man in Griffith, New South Wales enters into a commercial arrangement to be tied up and stroked in his underpants with a broom. We got it so far. That's the contract. Okay. That's the deal.
Yeah. I think if we dug into the small print of the deal, we'd probably find out that the gentleman in question was more interested in the non-sweeping end of the broom.
Ah.
It doesn't say that.
The handle.
Yeah. One of those ones where he ends up in casualty and saying, I was on a ladder... and I fell off the ladder and I landed on the broom.
Yeah. I was cleaning up chicken shit in the yard off
naked.
A flagstone.
Exactly. We've all been there.
Yeah. And I got really hot.
Yeah.
Now then.
No, love.
He was willing to pay.
I just took my pants off. Not my top, just my pants, because it was so hot.
Well, it's the easiest way to cool down. It is the fastest way to cool down.
Rob, that and having a cup of tea.
Absolutely. Take your pants off, cup of tea. You're like a polar bear again.
The role play was arranged over social media by a man near Griffith, New South Wales, who provided his address to the... This is the notes now. If you are writing this down, this is the place where you start paying attention. This is where it all goes horribly wrong. He provides his address to the hired pair. You remember the hired pair? It's a commercial agreement to tie up and stroke a semi-naked man in his underpants with a broom. You haven't forgotten the contract.
I've got that.
Is there an actual contract, though?
There's an actual contract on social media.
Oh, God.
A commercial agreement. I won't say it again.
Legally binding commercial agreement.
So the man near Griffith enters into the commercial agreement.
How does Griffith feel about all of this? Like all this happening to the man near him? Is he all right about... No one's mentioned how Griffith feels about everything.
There is no comment from Griffith about all this happening in his environs.
Yeah.
Okay. It says here, so the man near Griffith, no word from Griffith yet, but the man near Griffith in Australia, New South Wales in Australia, has gone on social media. He's entered into this commercial agreement. He says he's willing to pay 5,000 Australian dollars if it was, and this is inverted commas, so this must be part of the contract, really yeah. good.
Yeah. How do you qualify that?
If the broom stroking of his underpants in the aforementioned commercial agreement was really good, was done really well, he would pay $5,000. It doesn't
but
say what happens if it's not really good.
That is a dodgy contract. That's like going, if I really like the lawn when you've done it, yeah. then I'll pay you.
But that is how you a lot of building stuff works. You go, if you do a good job, I'll pay you that. Well, that's how it should be. A lot of us, this is a lesson to all of us. A lot of us pay out money in advance, and then there's no incentive for the builder or the person coming around with a broom to wipe your underpants. There's no incentive for them to do a good job.
Imagine,
yeah.
Imagine running the contract past your lawyer. Still, a quick look at this for
Hello.
Me.
Right. You know, since the divorce came through, I've got another thing.
So far, the man who's next to Griffith in New South Wales has said he's willing to pay $5,000 if it's really good.
Okay. Yeah.
So now, okay.
However, I mean, we've all been caught out, haven't we, when we've been rubbed through the underpants with a broom and it's not been really good. Do you know what I mean?
This is a very quick digression.
Sometimes when you get rubbed through your underpants with a broom and you just go, it was all right.
It was all right. I wouldn't do it again.
It was really good. Yeah, it was quite good.
It was all right.
You know, but not $5,000's worth good. No.
Like a fish pedicure.
I'm not giving you the full fee,
exactly.
We agreed.
Yeah.
Right. This is
a very quick
digression.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go around the room and I want you to say firm or soft.
What?
Just going to go around the room.
This room?
Well, there's only me and you in this room. We're on Zoom, so the others are in their rooms.
Right.
So I'm going to go around the virtual room.
Right.
Yep.
And I'm going to ask you this question. It's a very quick digression. The answer is only firm or soft.
Okay. God.
It's a lot of pressure.
If you had arranged into a commercial, if you'd entered into a commercial agreement to be tied up and stroked in your underpants with a broom,
right?
Would that broom be, a chunky, robust, firm, long, brittle bristle, or would it be a very soft, gentle, more of a caressing sort of brush, firm or soft? Sean Harris.
If I had to do that,
firm or soft?
Probably soft.
Soft.
I guess.
Okay. Rob, firm or soft? Just one word.
Again, yeah. I mean, I don't think he's interested in the sweeping end of the brush, but I would say, like Sean, I go for a soft brush.
Soft? Too soft.
If anything, just to avoid the chicken shit.
Yeah.
Isn't it strange?
Exactly.
Isn't it strange how well you know people? Because I know, right? Okay.
Oh, God. What have we walked into, Rob?
I have predicted what Barry's going to say.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What have you written down there?
There's a caveat to mine, though.
Barry, firm or soft?
Firm, but...
Oh, God, it's like watching David Blaine.
What did I write down?
The piece of paper says firm. But you might have another piece, like a magician, you might have another piece that says soft.
Exactly.
I haven't. It's all on Zoom. It's
in
done
your,
live.
Barry,
live
in your,
on Zoom.
In your top pocket, there's another piece of paper that says broom.
Yeah.
That says, do you hear that knock at the door?
We've arranged.
See that cupboard behind you?
If Darren Brown listens to this.
Exactly.
Go into that cupboard behind you, Barry, and where your jackets are hanging up. Go to the third jacket along and go into the inner breast pocket, would you? Take out the envelope.
Envelope?
Now, open the envelope. You should find a piece of paper that says firm on it.
I thought you were going to say open up the wardrobe and there's going to be a bloke
in
there
with
a broom.
Yeah, me too. There's a man in there.
Oh.
Or a machete.
So far, we've got the commercial agreement, okay?
Okay.
It's the man near Griffith. It's gone on social media.
Yep.
What about you? You haven't said yours.
Oh, firm.
And what was Barry's caveat? Firm?
Oh, firm, but lightly done, so it's like a tickle.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Like a nice tickle in the back. Yeah.
Would you go? Do you have a firm soft one then, or a soft?
I'd have a firm soft.
Firm soft one.
No. Sorry.
Firm light.
Like Barry.
Firm. Light firm. So like almost.
I will have.
You said you wanted soft.
I want the same sexual fantasy as Barry, please.
Get a room.
Hey, I tell you what. Talking
Get
of
room.
Talk, Talking of softness, Rod and Chan, I tell you what. I don't know whether, obviously, you've been working professionally with Barry Castagnola for some time now, but I don't know whether you've ever had the opportunity to rub sun cream into his body, which I have. And I've got to say, Barry Castagnola is smooth. He's got baby soft skin. He's
literally, yes.
Until you get to the neck.
Oh, yeah, then it's like a turkey, but beneath there, it's like a newborn. He's absolutely stunning, flawless body skin, absolutely remarkable.
Body skin.
Until you get to that neck that looks like a walnut, and then it absorbs moisture like a sponge.
Rob used to tell me I was like a baby eel.
Yeah, literally. It was like a damp otter. Whoa. It was absolutely beautiful.
Why
yeah.
did you guys have an occasion to rub body cream into each other?
Well, we were in Dubai doing some comedy gigs, and we were by the pool, and I was terribly worried about Barry's flawless skin being ruined by UV radiation damage. So I encouraged him to allow me to rub some sun cream deep into his epidermis. Into his,
didn't take into much his encouragement. Front. Did not take much encouragement.
Rob, I get the back, but not the chest area.
Well, he's a bit like John McCain. He's got very short arms, so he can't reach the middle of his chest.
I've been in very hot climates with Barry, possibly even the Middle East and Australian places, and I have never once got to rub anything into his damn potter.
I don't want those webbed hands over my body, thanks.
Hey, oh, Rodriguez.
It makes it much... It's very good for smoothing cream in these webbed hands.
Flippity flip, flip.
Like a paste knife. Now then, sorry. The story. Back to the story.
Yeah, yeah.
The back of the story. So, this is where it all goes wrong.
Oh, it hasn't already?
So, you remember the basics. The man near Griffith. The man near Griffith has hired these two to a commercial agreement to tie up and stroke a semi-naked man in his underpants with a broom. Okay. However, the client, the man who has asked for this sexual fantasy to happen, then moves house. 30 miles away.
What?
But without updating the two men he's hired.
Oh my God. That's... So instead of like cancelling the milkman...
Yeah.
He's cancelled the milk.
He's cancelled the papers.
The sexual
There's only one thing he's forgotten, and that is to cancel the commercial arrangement to tie him up and have him be stroked in his underpants with a broom by two men who are going to break in the middle of the night. It's the only thing he's forgotten. There's always something you miss.
When you move house, that's the first thing you do, isn't it? You say, right, obviously, redirect post, cancel or redirect.
Change energy providers.
Yeah, contractual sexual fantasies that I've got ordered onto the new address.
Yeah, it is on.
It's the first thing that Phil and Kirsty say on location, location, location.
It's the first thing they say. It is on every estate agent's website.
It's on that
check, there's a tick list.
There is, isn't
it? It's there, isn't it? Oh.
Have you cancelled all sexual fantasies? Cancelled the milk? Make sure your energy suppliers are aware of the date you're moving. This is basic stuff. Anyway, forgotten to update them.
How could you forget they were coming? Do you know what I mean?
When you're moving house, there's a lot to think about.
I know, but how could you forget that was happening?
Okay, well, I don't know. It doesn't say that's the only thing he forgot, but we know he forgot. So he's moved house. He's gone 30 miles away, and he forgot to update the two men with whom he's entered into the contractual arrangement.
It's irrelevant that it was 30 miles away. He could have moved two streets away and the same thing would have happened.
Or next door. You could have moved next door and it would still be awful.
Yeah, it's an irrelevant detail. He could have moved next door, as you say. But at least perhaps he'd have then heard it going on and he could have come out into the street in his underpants.
In here, lads, in here.
He could have heard the screams.
Yeah, just through
from
the wall.
Next door.
Get away, that fucking broom! What are you doing, you lucky weirdo?
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
Oh,
I think
I've sent them next door again.
Oh, I think these. Yeah. I think they're my sexual fantasy that I ordered. Sorry, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. Like when an Amazon package goes next door.
Yeah.
So they've moved it. So he's moved, right?
Right.
He's moved in. He's forgotten to let them know. They have then broken in to the address on their contract, the original address. and found a man in bed with an eye mask on. The resident, we'll call him. They call him the resident. Yep. He noticed a light on in his kitchen at 6:15. I don't know where he was asleep. I don't know what his house is called.
He's wearing an eye mask.
And he's wearing an eye mask.
Bad eye mask.
Anyway, he noticed a light. There's a light on in his kitchen at 6:15. This is a weird little sentence. He assumed it was a friend who came by on every day to make morning coffee. That's a fucking weird sentence, isn't it? What sort of arrangement is that? Can I come round your house 6 o'clock every morning and make coffee while you're still asleep?
Yeah. Whilst you try and sleep with an eye mask on.
Yeah, I just can't get my kettle to work. What a weird arrangement that is.
Making loads of noise.
The second weirdest arrangement in the story.
I think it's actually weirder.
Actually, the weirdest one.
The weirdest one. Maybe that's his sexual fantasy. I like lying in bed while somebody else makes coffee in my kitchen at 6:15
for themselves.
The yeah. Somebody makes a coffee and then buggers off. Now comes in.
Such a weird thing to do.
Such a weird thing.
Oh dear.
So but the resident notices a light on in his kitchen at 6:15. He assumed it was a friend who came by daily to make morning coffee. Yeah, he hasn't lived there long, let's be
He's
fair.
He's only just moved in, so yeah. This must be a very new arrangement.
Yeah. This must be... This is.
I tell you what, when he's looking around...
It's either...
Oh, dear.
Either then he had an existing arrangement with this friend who came by to make coffee in his kitchen at 6:15 every morning, and then when he moved house, they rolled on the contract.
Oh, they've got a contract as well.
Or he's moved into this new area, very quickly made friends in the area, and made a deal with somebody comes around and makes coffee in his kitchen at 6:15 in the morning, at which point he must be thinking, oh well, this is just a teething problem with this new contract. We'll iron this out over time. So it was then.
So can I interject here, Rod? So go then on. We're to read into this like Columbo that the booking the official commercial booking for the two we're going to call them now gigolos. Heavily armed gigolos.
Let's call them the defendants.
Yeah, sorry, the defendants.
Heavily armed gigolos.
So on their docket, which they probably had with them, with the contract on it, it said, arouse him at 6:30 a.m. with a broom. So they arrived very, very, very early. It's an odd time to
make... Rob, we got a dog interaction.
I don't blame the dog for kicking off, because it's very early to be doing gigolo work, isn't it?
It is very early.
So they've come round with their docket, right? They've broken in, basically. Right, so he
And you're definitely going to need a coffee if you're trying to bring a fella off with a broom at 6:30. I'm not doing that without a coffee in me, mate. Mate, I'll come round at 6:30, but I'm going to have a fucking coffee first, because... I've not even had my breakfast, and I got shoved out of your ass. On an empty stomach, you must be joking.
It is an odd time to have your sexual fantasy.
It's so weird. That's the weirdest thing yet.
Yeah, but it's the most unexpected,
I guess. Thing yet, the time.
It's the most unexpected,
in the morning.
Though.
That's a good way to start your day.
But maybe he's got to go to work. Maybe he works at 8, so he's got to...
He's got to fit in, you're quite right, Roger.
He's got a Zoom call at 8.
So... The resident noticed. So this is the completely innocent resident who's just moved into this house. Wakes up at 6:15, sees a light on in the kitchen, assumes it's a friend who comes by every day to make morning coffee. Weird. When the men, so this is the defendants now, this is the two men with the machetes, they call out the name of their client, the person they've got the contract, the deal with. Right?
Right.
The person in the house, who is not their client, is not their, you know, got nothing to do with them, innocent person who's been asleep, the resident
what
turns,
does he say? Do you want a coffee?
The resident turned on the light. The resident turned on the light and removed their sleeping mask.
Yeah.
It was then that he saw standing above his bed two men with machetes, which they appeared to have brought as props for the role play. When they realised their error, one of the pair said, "Sorry, mate," shook the resident's hand and left. And it gets really weird.
No hard feelings.
The two men then drove over to the correct address. So he's given them the forwarded address.
Oh my God.
He's gone through all his house sale papers. He's gone to his little filing cabinet. I've got the address here somewhere, lads. Hang on a minute. I've got going through my papers. I've got the forwarding address for all his mail, all sexual fantasies.
You know.
Actually, can you take some of this mail? I haven't had a chance to forward this mail yet. Can you take him his mail? You take him these bills. That
like
arrived.
A direct line bill.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the last thing you want when you just had a broom shoved up your ass is to be followed by a gas bill.
And can you ask him what that Chinese is like on the high street?
Yeah. So off they've gone. They've said, sorry, mate. Shaking his hand. He's gone back to bed, right?
Well, they're professionals, aren't they? Yeah.
Quite.
He's gone back to bed.
Hey, I wonder where.
Hang on.
Here's the big mystery.
Well, wait.
Again. Pump the brakes. You're right, Sean. He's gone back to bed.
Back to bed after that.
Wait, though. No. Where is?
I'll go back to sleep then.
Yeah, but the weirdest thing about all of this.
I got the Zoom call.
The weirdest thing about all of this is, where's the guy who comes round every morning to make coffee for himself in his
where's
kitchen?
Where's he?
Do you think he arrived, started making coffee, had a look through the door? Had a quick look. There's two men in machetes in the bedroom.
He's still in the loo.
I'll go to Costa this morning and have a quick look.
I'll get a drive through.
Wow.
I'll just make coffee in my own house this morning. Fuck it.
I'll take a flask.
I've done a shit in my own house today. That bugger. Right, okay. So the two men now drive off to the correct address. It's only 30 miles away. Okay, they could be there by 8.
They're having a morning, aren't they?
There by 8.
We've got a few comments here. Right. Online. Bob55 says, sweet Jesus. He's even done the sums because the bloke said he'd give them $5,000 if it was good, if you remember.
Right.
If it was good. That was the deal, $5,000 if the rubbing with the broom of the underpants was really good.
Yeah.
Bob's done the sums back into sterling. Sweet Jesus, says Bob55. £2,700 to enter someone's house, pre-arranged and stroke them with a broom. I'm in the wrong job.
What's his job?
It doesn't say. £2,700 to enter someone's house, pre-arranged. It's
pre-arranged.
Not even off the cuff. This is pre-arranged. Stroke them with a broom. I'm in the wrong job. Lie walkie. You always get somebody like this on the internet who goes, don't even know what to say. Okay. Yeah. All right. Always worth jotting that down.
And also, he must have created an account and logged in and everything just to say that.
I know.
What?
Yeah, nothing created. To say about this.
Sorry, next.
Don't want to take up valuable forum space. Somebody else, go ahead. Dr. Horsehead says, we've all been there. Am I right?
He Paper sounds Tiger, like an office joker.
At least he's not a killjoy like Nikati, who says, it's not a sexual fantasy. It's a masturbation fantasy.
Yeah, exclamation for Christ's sake.
What does that mean?
Well, I think Nikati is unhappy that this whole story has been called a sexual fantasy when it's not. It's a masturbation fantasy.
Right.
Although how Nikati knows that, I do not know. But Nikati already knows more about this than I do. I don't know who brought it to court. I don't know who rang the police. I do know that one of the men's got off. I don't know what happened to the other one. He may well be out there
rubbing
people down. I don't know what happened to the broom or the underpants. There's a lot of loose ends.
There's a lot of loose ends
in this one.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Your second story, very different. Very different little segue this. Going from sexual fantasies involving machetes, stiff brooms, and underpants.
It's a masturbation fantasy.
It's a masturbation fantasy. Sorry, by God alive. Just the worst when people get that wrong. So, next story. Very different. Six-year-old's weekly meal plan has parents in stitches. Here we go. Nice little story for you. A six-year-old's weekly meal plan has been praised by parents in an online social media group for his clear set out and neat handwriting. And others found his choices hilarious. When you're cooking for your family, it can be easy to fall into a routine of eating the same meals week in, week out.
True.
That is true. Do you eat the same... We did as kids.
Yeah, we did as kids. The
same stuff every Friday with sausage and chips. Oh, you're right, Sam.
Sorry.
Every Friday was sausage and chips.
Oh, yeah.
Every Saturday was...
Was it?
God, liver and bacon we had on Saturdays.
Lovely.
Imagine that. If you're a young kid, though, Rob, liver and bacon.
Oh, I've never had
it. On a Saturday morning.
I love it. Yeah, get it down here. Get it down
here. Not when you're like 6, 7, 8 years old. Saturday morning, it's supposed to be fun. It's all swap shop, tis, was. It's your time Saturday
liver.
Morning. Oh, guess what we've got? Guess what we're having for lunch on a Saturday? Liver and bacon.
Whoa, a bit of offal. Lovely.
We shouldn't have had to put
Saturday
up with that, but it was the 70s.
Best day. Saturday was the best day. Alpha Bites and sausages.
Yeah, well, that's what it should have been, right? I was having liver and bacon.
Monday night. This is mad, though. Monday night, beef burgers with spaghetti.
Superb, yeah.
That's very continental. Yeah,
is that a beef burger on a plate with spaghetti? Tinned spaghetti.
Two bird's eye beef burgers with normal spaghetti.
Tinned spaghetti?
Because we didn't eat spaghetti bolognese, and that's what the adults were having.
That's very Italian, that is, to have meat on top of pasta and stuff.
It's really
very,
nice.
Very
it's like a meatball, isn't it? Yeah.
Tuesday was chops.
I'm shocked that I didn't end up with CJD from the food that my mum, the awful beef that I ate as a child. I mean, like, I genuinely panicked around that time when it was looking like no one quite
really?
Knew how bad it was going to be. The whole mad, I just thought the diet I had as a child was awful.
Oh, we ate so much mechanically reclaimed beef, didn't we, as children?
Yeah.
Let's go head to head on spaghetti. I've said this many times, I've talked about this recipe, but I'll never tire of it. So your spaghetti bolognese recipe was what?
Bird's eye beef burgers cut up and then interspersed with normal spaghetti.
Right. Was that because, though, that sounds like a parent trying to give a child an approximation of spaghetti bolognese, but the kid won't really have things like garlic and onions and peppers, so they give him a simple child version.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to beat that, you see, because my mother's spaghetti bolognese recipe, RIP, my mother, and RIP this recipe, it died with her. Nobody's ever going to make this again.
I could make it for you.
Do you know what? I'd really like it. Would you?
I would.
Actually, I can make it myself. It takes 30 seconds, literally. My mother's spag ball recipe is this: a tin of tomato soup in a pan.
Yeah.
Nice.
A tin of corned beef in the same pan.
Oh.
Heated up.
That
was spaghetti bolognese for the
superb. Well,
I was going to say in my youth, it was not even in my youth. If my mother was alive today and we were having spaghetti bolognese tonight and she was cooking it, that's what we'd have.
Oh.
Did you used to eat
beef in tomatoes?
Did you used to eat meat paste? I used to eat meat paste.
Meat paste?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all have meat paste.
Meat paste, what's that?
My mum used to make a dish that was just called brown meat. Great. I loved it. I loved me brown. And it was just mince with a bit of onion and then gravy browning and then just like a lake of that with some mashed potato and some peas, brown meat. Oh, lapped it up. Loved
it. Without wishing to be yeah. offensive, I'm not trying to be stereotypical. Is it a northern thing or is it your mother thing?
I think it was just my mother. She called it brown meats. Brown okay. meats.
Okay, so we've got...
It was lovely. Big so lake far, of brown meats.
So far in the bidding, we've got Sian's. I think yours is more of a kid's meal, so that's not too bad. That's not too bad, that. I'm going to try and top this now. I'm going to top this with the best thing I saw my parents having. Okay. I'm sat there. My dad's in his chair. My mum did all the cooking. My dad sat in his chair and had things brought to him. Apart from every now and again, my dad would make a tin of tinned chicken curry. That was his speciality.
Superb, yeah.
Tinned chicken curry is my dad's one meal of the week.
You still like that?
Eh?
You still really
I still like
that.
It. Everything I still like the spaghetti ball with corned beef and tomato soup. And because I'm a bit more sophisticated than my parents cooking, I added a bit of garlic with it, and that really tops it off beautifully, actually. Anyway, they would never have dreamt of that. This was the best one I saw. My mother coming into the living room with a tray with my dad's plate and cutlery on it and putting it down in front of him. And my dad was a very, very simple taste food-wise. He never ate a vegetable.
Yeah.
Never ate a vegetable in his life.
Or fruit.
And refused to. Or fruit.
Until the end.
even in the home, he's just passed away, but even in the home he refused. They indulged his refusal to eat vegetables to the very last day.
I think he had a tin
chips
pear.
And roast potatoes. He did eat chips and roast potatoes, that's it. No. Anyway. He didn't eat those pears. If you had a look at his drawer,
he made full of
tin pears, his drawer in the home, because he used to hide them in there.
He used to hide, 88 years old, hiding tinned pears from the staff.
I mean, and he got to 88 without eating any fruit and
veg or fruit.
Absolutely. He must have had like a cast iron constitution.
Very uncomplaining. Absolutely. Very uncomplaining. Very simple tasting food. He grew up in the valleys, you know, sort of tin bath in the kitchen, one bath a week, all the family in it, tin bath, you know, no toilet and no toilet, valleys, mining, you know. Very uncomplaining. Very unfussy, apart from his refusal to eat vegetables. So whatever my mother put in front of him, whatever she put in front of him, he was always like, look at this.
Oh.
Fit for a king.
Fantastic. I love that. Whatever I love people who do that.
She Superb. Came out with a plate of white rice, plain white rice. Put it down in front of him on his tray, and he went, oh, look. He was blind as well, so he couldn't really see it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But every night he went, oh, look at this meal fit for a king. Whoa, amazing. He starts to eat it, and my mother goes, oh, hang on, I've forgotten the ham. Goes into the kitchen, comes out and just drapes a piece of ham from a packet onto the top of the rice.
I've forgotten the ham. Not, oh, what should I put on this? Oh, I've got some ham, which is bad enough.
Literally a plate of rice with a piece of ham draped over the top of it. What was I going to say? Anybody beat that?
The best meal I've ever had was a beef chow mein from my dad's pocket when we were staying in a hotel in Tenby.
What?
He came in late at night, my father, with and you know, with the Chinese. Uh-huh. You're not allowed to in a hotel.
Oh, I see.
And we ate it from his pocket.
Why didn't... Once you were in the room, you could take it out of his pocket. Unless the owner was in there with you. Was it in a carton?
No, it was in his pocket. He'd come in with it.
He didn't get a
rain.
Carton from the takeaway? What takeaway did he go from? They just filled his pocket with...
I think we were in the foyer. I can't remember, but that's the best meal I've ever had.
I don't understand.
What?
Well, it wasn't in a carton. He just had a loose pocket full of chow mein.
No, it was in a box, like you know the 80s box, like a foil thing with a
cardboard lid.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not 80s, they still have that now.
No,
some do.
It's all plastic now.
Well, all right.
Just one of those in his pocket.
But why didn't he once he got back to the room, he smuggled it in successfully. Surely he would take it out of his pocket then for
I
you to eat.
I can't remember. I can't
just go, everyone just gather around and just hold his pocket wide open while his kids
I
are...
I think we were eating it in the lift on the
like
way
a
up.
A trough.
Yeah. I wasn't allowed much of it, but I was... honestly, it's the nicest thing I've ever tasted in my life.
Yeah, well, it would be...
Pocket chow mein.
I know. Pocket chow mein. I don't think they had plates.
No, but there's you're missing. There's a link missing between. Just because they go, I tell you what, I can't find any plates. Just these are in my pocket. No, you just put it on the table. I presume they had something. Did they have any furniture at all? Even a floor.
There was a bed.
Huh? Well, on the bed then. Why didn't you take it and put it on the bed if that was the only thing?
I can't remember, love. I was very.
Yeah,
very young.
If I wring out my sweater, it's full of orange squash. You can have some of that as well.
I've got some dessert in my turnips.
It's an odd story.
It was illicit Chinese. Is so illicit. Exciting.
I just understand why he didn't take it out of his pocket. Right, so here's the menu this 6-year-old came up with. Right. When you're cooking for your family, it can be easy to fall into a routine of eating the same meals week in, week out. It says, why not jazz things up by having a chow mein in your pocket and letting your kids use it as a trough? It doesn't say that.
Yeah, but that was a holiday.
Why not switch things up, it says, and let your kids decide what they want to eat? A mum did exactly that and shared the results of her 6-year-old son's idea of the perfect weekly meal plan.
Is it chips every day?
No, I'll tell you now. It doesn't take much to see he has a standout favourite dish. Whilst we expected to see a weird combination of all their favourite foods if a 6-year-old gets hold of a meal plan and not a vegetable in sight, he shocked fellow parents with his impeccable planning and savvy use of leftovers. Rob's got kids, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got two kids.
How old are your kids?
My 12 and 8, and they
are too old. So you haven't got 6-year-old kids. I want somebody with a 6-year-old to ask them if they should be doing meal plans. 12 and 8.
If I asked my children at 12 and 8 to make meal plans, it would just be cheesy pasta, cheesy pasta, cheesy pasta, cheesy pasta, pasta and pesto, cheesy pasta, cheesy pasta. Well, that's every day.
I know who's got 6-year-olds and got two of them.
Go on, Barry.
Jim Brister. He's got twin boys, 6
years
old.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
A pair.
She's got a pair of six-year-olds.
Is that a brace of 6-year-olds she got? Oh, she'll know then whether you should ever give a 6-year-old hand over the meal planning for the week, the family meal planning for a 6-year-old. Get Jen Brister on the line, Barry. Let's find out.
How are you doing?
Hi, love.
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Hi, Jen.
Hello, you two.
Hey.
I like to see you in your kitchen. I like to see you in a domestic setting at all times.
It's nice, isn't it? It's cosy.
Jen, we've got a story here. The reason we rang you, because you've got, Barry reckons your kids are now 6-year-olds. Is that right?
They are. They're 6 now, yeah.
You got a pair of them?
Yes. Two. Yeah, I think that's how twins work.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And I look at Shans, but is it though? No, they are. They're lovely.
Are you tired?
I'm quite tired.
But the thing is, when they're older, Jen, you'll be like Mother Cray. And like they'll come in the living room and go, that's a nice suit. Look at your nice suit, boys. Tell them where you got your suits from. And where'd you get your suits from? And they go, Savile Row, Mum. Great, you'll have your own little Cray twins.
I'll be there with my bar of Vanish soap just to mop up the little blood stains that have spattered onto the... Sweetheart, is that ketchup on your neck there? Yeah, Mum, let's just call it ketchup, yeah.
You boys been fighting. I've told you, I don't like your fighting, boys.
What would you ever let your 6-year-olds do a meal plan?
No, I wouldn't let them have. They are not involved in the decision making in our house. Okay, so
at all.
No, I'm not asking children. I'm not asking 2 6-year-olds what they think about anything outside of Paw Patrol. Okay, that's it. I don't need to know what their opinions are about pretty much anything, and that's how I roll.
I agree with you. That's exactly how it should be. If you're 6, you're not supposed to be making decisions on stuff.
Well, this kid did. And listen to this. This is what he went for. Saturday. Takeaway.
Obviously.
I really like his style, though. Yeah. I like what he's doing.
Sunday, pizza.
Yep.
Monday, chicken.
Last leg.
His little brain must have gone, hang on, I've got to rein it in a bit for Monday.
Tuesday, fish and chips, ! Yay. Wednesday.
Sean, you big softie. No,
such a softie,
isn't the response.
I know.
Wednesday, fish.
No chips.
Fish again.
Tuesday, fish and chips, yay. Wednesday, fish. It's bizarre when he could have just had fish and chips again. Thursday, leftover fish and chips.
Two-day-old leftover fish and chips for Thursday.
Friday, leftover fish.
What?
No way.
No, he's not put that.
He's run out of foods.
Oh my God, he's having fish right now.
He's
4 days in a row.
Pizza.
I love
Saturday
them.
Leftover pizza. Sunday, takeaway again.
Ah.
I love the leftover. And he's put leftovers is L slash O. Fair play. L slash O, leftover.
Listen, leftover. It's very cute when they write it, isn't it? It's very, very cute, cute. But yeah. I'm not actioning any of that crap. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I got their Santa's list and I went, you'll be lucky, mate. So let alone if they offered a menu up, forget it. Yeah, on a Saturday, sometimes I'll let them have pizza. I mean, I'm really breaking all the rules and they'll have pizza on. And I don't even mean like, I mean like proper dirty shop bought piece of shit pizza. Do you know what I mean? I'm like,
but that is how Saturday nice. Should be. That is how Saturday should be.
They have a disgusting pizza that they absolutely love, and then they get to watch their favourite programme, Strictly Come Dancing. Okay, they just they are absolutely peaking at the moment. Today I've just left them. They're already doing the dance moves.
That is Saturday. That's the Saturday I wanted.
That is Saturday night.
Yeah. That is the Saturday I wanted. Instead, I had to have liver and bacon and watch the Open University with some looking flares and clearly visible penis through his trousers talking about trigonometry.
Thank you both so much.
Yes.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, Jen, for stopping by again. Thank you.
Thank you. You need to say a friend of the podcast because this is my second time on. So yeah, now officially I'm friend of the podcast.
Do you want to plug anything, Jen? What are you doing?
Yes. My special is coming out on Amazon Prime on the 3rd of Fantastic. December. Meaningless.
That's so exciting.
Go on, stand-up special.
That's amazing.
Jen, tell Great. Me, stand-up special, Amazon Prime.
Yeah, so the show is Meaningless and it comes out on the 3rd of December on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. I'm supposed to say
Prime UK. I'm not allowed to say Amazon Prime. Prime UK.
Is it the show I saw in Crouch End when we did Edinburgh previews together?
Yes, yes.
That show 2018. Is
yeah, yeah.
That show is amazing.
Oh, I want to see it.
Thank you, Rob.
Brilliant. It's not That's Meaningless. Don't put it down. It's good.
Absolutely don't watch it. What a pile of crap.
We will catch you on Amazon Prime UK, Meaningless, Jen Brister stand-up special. Look forward to seeing that. Thank you so much, Jen. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you very much,
the show, Jen Brister.
Thank you so
Bye-bye.
Much.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you. Right, that's all we've got time for.
Thanks for listening.
And thanks to special guest Rob Rouse. Where can people find you, Rob? I know it's at Rob Rouse on Twitter, but you're still doing your daily thing.
At Rob Rouse on Twitter. But every single day, Monday to Friday, I'm putting brand new original comedy and nonsense on patreon.com/Rob Rouse.
patreon.com/Rob Rouse.
That's the badger.
Brilliant. Thanks, Rob. Thanks again.
Thanks to Barry Castagnola.
And the wonderful at Jen Brister. Do check out her stand-up special.
You can contact us at The Froth Podcast, where you'll get extra froth content. And don't forget the exciting new email facility. Our email address is hello@thefrothpodcast.com.
And if you enjoyed this nonsense, don't forget to like and subscribe and rate us at 5 stars. This podcast was a Llanbobl Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Russell Up Productions.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.